Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by FabFitFun, a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products.
And I will tell you, these boxes are a guaranteed pick-me-up every season. Who doesn't like gifts at their door? And since the products are full-size, they may even last you to the next box.
Each box contains amazing products from known brands like Kate Somerville, Dr. Brandt, Anthropology, and more.
It retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200, which is awesome.
It's a steal. So check out FabFitFun.com and use the code AWESOME10 so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. Again, that's FabFitFun.com and use the code AWESOME10. You know you want to.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on?
It's good to see you. The sun is cascading through your dressing room window.
And you look
I look pale as hell, don't I?
You are doing powder right
now.
Dude,
I'm about to turn into a werewolf, man.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm a vampire. I'm about to turn into
I'm doing true blood and powder.
Am I glistening
together.
Like diamonds like Robert
You're
Pattinson?
Not sweating actually.
No, I'm not.
It's very nice.
Yeah,
you're pale with a beard.
I didn't have sodium today. That's why.
You didn't have sodium. Your head's okay? Your head's small today for some reason. Usually on one of your long drives here, I know you're like licking a salt block or something. On the way down, your head's the size of a bison usually.
Dude, and the elevation of going over the grapevine messes with me, man. My
your
feet
swell.
Dude, it's no good, bro.
That's called old man stuff boy.
Old man business.
You better quit calling me old man.
Oh, dude.
When this stuff's happening to you and you're like 28.
It's my favorite joke.
How old are you? It's the only joke.
Dude, I'm going to be 40.
Usually when we're on the road, you have to come up with a new joke.
Nope.
What do you mean no?
You got to stick with what works.
Does that get a laugh every time?
Yeah.
It does out of me.
Yeah. And really, what else Maybe am I
you
there
should
for
play...
to entertain myself?
Of course you are.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah. So. Well, Stevie,
speaking of entertainment,
oh, man.
Can we get some real entertainment here? Because I don't know what this is.
We are joined today by one of our favorites. I think we came in around the same time in the mid-2000s, and it's been nothing but a joy since.
She's amazing.
The amazing Sonia Eddy.
Sonia Eddy. We all there. Look, she's laughing still. We have so much fun on set, Sonia and I.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And I'll let I don't know. We might tell some stories today. I don't know, man. There's some stories to be told. But first, we got to get to know Sonia.
Yes, and it's funny. We were talking before, and
Sonia, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah,
I'm doing well. I think I might have hurt something over here. I was laughing so hard, I knocked my brains out. I was like, whoa, okay. All right.
Well, that's good. That's
so
good.
It's about to be a very interesting interview.
Yeah. No, it's a good sign. It's a good way to start.
Yeah. Welcome to the Dumb and Dumber Show.
Yeah,
hey.
No, it's for real.
It is for real. It is not an act.
The cool thing about our, well, we like to think it's cool. Most people that listen to this know us by the show that they watch, General Hospital, right?
Uh-huh.
But what a lot of them don't know and what a lot of us don't know about each other is what happened before we got here.
Yeah.
We exchange niceties and, you know, sometimes we talk about where we went to school sometimes because that's actors. That's kind of something that some actors do actually go to school.
Yeah, imagine that.
What? But we don't talk long form about the journey.
Right, and that's really what's the most interesting.
Right, and we were talking a little bit, and I realized that we have some Northern California connections. So let's start with where are you from?
I'm an East Bay girl. East Bay!
Oh, my gosh.
Concord, California.
Concord.
East Bay! I grew up in Union City, which is southern, you know, like a South Bay-ish.
Okay.
But I finished my growing and graduated and all that stuff. But I was formed by Concord.
I grew up in New Hampshire, and our state capital.
Yeah, you have a Concord.
Mm-hmm. But we call it Concord.
Well, we do. Yeah, that's what they say. Concord.
Concord. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But it confuses the heck out of everybody.
But people that aren't from there
say Concord.
They have to.
Yeah, they do,
they
and
have
it drives
to, yeah.
me nuts.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Right. It's like, wait a minute. It's Concord.
Well, and didn't everybody?
No, it's not Concord.
It's Concord.
Concord.
Didn't everybody? And didn't everybody take American history, the
Dude.
Revolutionary War, the battles of Lexington and Concord?
Hello,
like that's where it came from. Like, so it wasn't the battles of Lexington and Concord.
Concord.
I missed that class.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave that right alone.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing though? Like, L.A. actors, so many. Like, the journey of L.A. actors is very different from the journey of actors. And that came from other places.
Yeah. Well, you can go ahead and say East Coast. You can go ahead and say it.
Well, no, but from the Bay Area, too, you have so many great places to go to school there for theater or for whatever you
want
to go to.
If you say so. Yeah. Let's just say I applied to ACT and they said, you can't have a career. Look at you. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. Well, there's always that, I guess, too.
Yeah.
But So you're product of the Bay Area. And was it at what point in your growing up did you... Did you always know from at what point did the arts creep in?
When it was forced upon me.
When it was forced upon you.
I was not, no, me, actor, hell to the no.
Really?
No!
Who first?
I was going to be an attorney or a doctor, because that's, all my family, they're professionals. My father was a civil engineer. I have an uncle that's a cop. I have another uncle that's a detective. I have an uncle that used to be the president of the University of Illinois.
Oh my gosh!
I have doctors and attorneys and
so people with real jobs.
Yeah, real people.
real people.
The head in the clouds. Get out of here! No, from the Midwest too. So
More practical.
Yeah, we're practical people.
Yeah.
So this acting thing. Are you crazy?
Right. So, but were you interested as a kid?
No,
no. So did you do it as a kid?
No.
Okay, so what
did this to you? What strong-armed you?
What was Sonya like as a kid? What did you do? What were your interests?
Okay, I used to love to watch the Miss America pageants, but because I liked the dresses.
Sure.
I had never sat there and said, one day that's going to be hell to the no. I didn't want to do that. I was very shy. Still am, but people just don't.
I would watch Chippendales as a kid and think the same thing about
myself. Well, there you go. Yeah, you feel me. You feel me. You
know, there is no Thunder Down Under. Over there.
Yeah. Over there. Yeah.
Something's missing.
Yeah, I didn't. I liked going to theater. I loved watching theater. I loved movies. I love books. I like entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But never, ever
did you
wanted to be
in it.
No, oh, never.
Okay.
Never,
so,
ever.
So obviously, liking the dresses is a normal thing because my daughter watches shows. She's like, oh, look at the clothes. So fashion, was that, were you interested in that at all? No? Okay.
I was a sports playing tomboy who read a lot.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's what I was.
What were your sports? Nice.
Softball. That's enough.
Okay.
Well, you know, okay, wait a minute. I tried to, I'm going to go through it, okay?
Please do.
I tried to play volleyball, but I was short and round.
Okay.
So I was getting spiked on one too many times. The heifers crabbed me in the face with that ball. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to beat somebody. I'm going to rip off one of those legs.
Yeah.
I'm kind of violent, you guys. Anyway,
Right.
I was going to beat somebody with their legs. So I was like, okay, no volleyball because the spiking thing sucks.
Yeah.
Not only does it hurt, but it sucks. It's like humiliating.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I ran. I decided, let me go do some soccer. No, I had breasts.
Oh.
When I was 12. And so after I knocked myself unconscious a couple of times.
By myself.
Honey. You know, they'll pick a pow. Oh, my. I discovered that, they didn't have sports bras for, full figured people.
Because
full figured people don't exercise. What?
Oh, gosh.
Then I went to basketball and I was too rough because I learned how to play basketball from my father and his brothers. Well, my family are like gigantic people.
Yeah.
My daddy was 6'5".
Oh, my gosh.
My uncle 6'6". Another uncle 6'8". Another uncle 7'1".
Yeah.
So, and I'm out here on the shortest uncle's 6 feet.
Yeah.
So I'm on the basketball court at 5 foot. Nothing.
With these guys.
With these dudes.
Basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
you got to use your.
Yeah.
You got to throw some elbows.
Yeah. I had to.
You got to be tough. For
I had to. Yeah. I had to. Otherwise, they didn't care I was a girl. They didn't care.
No.
Right.
They didn't, forget the niece thing. Yeah. They were running me over. I said, okay, I'm tired of kissing the pavement. So I guess I'm going to have to fight. So I guess that's the reason why I'm violent now. Plus, my father and my uncle used to play football with me. They would throw me across the room.
Oh, you were the ball?
I was the ball.
Oh, wow.
I have a particular way of seeing the world.
From up high,
flying quickly. Ooh. That's why I like fast things.
That's why you like bungee jumping.
There you go. You know, like, ah! Yeah. So
that's funny.
So I tried to, I played basketball, but I was too rough. I was a guard, but they were mad because they couldn't get past me. But I couldn't adjust to the rules.
Sure.
You're not supposed to hip check people.
No. It's called foul.
Yeah. See, and I couldn't, I was a street baller, so I couldn't make the adjustment.
Yeah.
Then I went to weightlifting, and my mother got very angry because my body bulked up, and she couldn't find clothes for me.
Oh my gosh!
Because I was like different sizes all over the place.
Power, like power,
I was a power lifter.
Powerlifting, yeah.
At what age?
I started when I was 13.
Oh my gosh!
And my mama made me stop when I was 15.
Well, because I mean, how does one find powerlifting? Like, where do you?
It was actually like a gym that was in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And I just kind of stumbled. Somebody was training for it. I don't remember the details because I don't want to talk about how long ago that was. But I saw this guy doing it and I just wanted to do it. I thought that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and it helped a lot on the basketball court with the uncle.
No
doubt. So I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right? At that age, you're making a great foundation of your body.
You know, so it's like,
are you stifling your growth though? Or no,
you're not.
No, no. Not at that age.
That's an urban legend.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All plus, I wasn't lifting seriously, like, you know, I mean, but not like what Steve would do.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so after mom, that was something that I clicked with, and because I like to compete with myself.
Yeah.
So when mom said, "I'm tired of, you know, trying to find pants that fit you. You better find something else to do." That's when I stumbled into softball.
Mm.
And because I had the rough and the tough and the weightlifting.
And the strength.
You know, the strength and stuff. I wound up being a catcher.
Oh.
They good
called,
golly.
Yeah, they called me Stump. Because they couldn't knock me over.
Oh, are there some battles at the plate in softball? They just
have you seen?
Have you seen it?
Them softball playing chicks.
Just putting a shoulder down and going straight into
brother. They will run you.
It sounds like two sides of beef hitting each other. It ain't no joke.
They'd run your little ass over.
Oh, run you over.
I have no doubt.
You see the blood in their eyes when they're coming for you. And, you know, there was this chick. I'm not going to call her name, but let's just say she was Samoan. Not to, you know, stereotype, but she was Samoan. And she had a problem with me.
Uh-oh.
You know, because she could never get past me on the base, on home base.
Home plate, yeah.
So it was between me and her.
Okay.
She was up batting. You know, she knocked that ball into next week. I'm like, oh, boy. So
she's got to try to make it all the way
build
around.
Up ahead, you know, some steam.
Yeah.
This heifer going to try to knock me out. Cause she was looking. She was, that day she's like, "Oh, you going down?"
Oh man!
And I'm looking up at her. Yo, it was like, because I was the shortest player on the field too. Okay.
Yeah.
So she was running, and she didn't. You know, usually people who that's how I would do. I was the cleanup batter.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So because I didn't like to run.
Oh, so you just
so
hit home
I
runs?
Just hit it out the park, and then I could take my
you
time.
Truck.
Yeah, see, if there's a way to get out of exercise, I will find it. That's just the way I work. If I got
to
knock
it
out,
I just got to hit a home run. That's all I need
that's
to
all
do.
I got to do.
All right, all right.
That's the way it felt to me. It's like, that's all I have to do is hit it over the fence? Okay.
That's awesome.
So, you know, and the you know, the pitchers would get angry at me because I would line drive it. I wasn't trying to, but that's just the way it would. So I knocked out a couple of pitchers, too.
Oh, gosh, right.
And that ain't no – you've seen the softballs.
Well, yeah,
they're not
that far away from you, the pitchers, right?
It's
a shorter diamond.
It's a much shorter diamond.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So what happened? So she cranked it out?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, yeah, she came. She was coming around. She hit third base, and I looked up, and I saw the look on that bitch's face. I said, "Here she come." Tell me, did she not do the shoulder thing?
Oh.
She shouldered up on me. And I looked at her and I'm like, "Oh, really?" I threw my glove down. I was like, "The hell with the ball. It's about me and her." Right? You heard the audience go, "Ooh," because they saw it getting ready to happen. She plowed into me. She hit me so hard. I've never been hit so hard. She hit me so hard. I said, because all the air went out of my body.
Sure, right, yeah.
She hit me with the shoulder, and she hit me on my upper shoulder, which knocked me back, but I didn't go down.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I didn't go down. See, because my center of gravity was lower than hers.
I see.
She 5'9". I'm 5'3".
Yeah, you are going down.
Get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm planted over your home base. That's yeah, a, come on.
That's amazing.
You know, she hit me so hard. I did fall back.
Yeah.
But I didn't leave. So she
you were
was
protecting
out,
home plate.
But yeah, I was protecting.
You said you dropped the ball, though.
No, I didn't. I didn't have the ball. I didn't care.
She's out.
She's out. It was about me and her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay, because wow. The home, you know, she knocked it. They weren't getting that ball.
Oh,
man.
They weren't. I see.
How long did you play?
I played. Oh, geez. I think I was 9, and I stopped at 20.
Wow. So you played catcher all the time?
Uh-huh. That's why
you have
I'm
any knee problems?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Because a few of my friends played minor league catcher.
Oh,
and they're just their knees are dead.
Yeah. They don't tell you.
No, they don't say, you're not going to walk when you're 40.
Yeah, no. There's no warning, no nothing.
That's bad.
Yeah. You know, and I wouldn't want to be a pro player. I mean, it was bad enough with those college folks and through high school.
So you played in college, too?
Yeah, I played in college, too, for UC Davis for a hot second.
Wow. So was playing softball a part of your where am I going to college idea?
No,
it was just separate. Like
I never really planned anything like that.
Okay, all right. Well, I wasn't sure if softball was such a passion. They're like, hey, I know I want to play this in college, or I'm going to go to college for these classes.
It just so happened that Davis had a really good softball team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
But I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah. So what were you thinking about?
I was thinking about I wanted to be a vet, and that's the top vet school in the nation.
Got it.
So I was like, well, I'm going to go there.
And just up the 80, not
so
bad.
There you go. Yeah. You know, plus, Daddy was happy about it because he wasn't going to let me go out of the state.
Well, yeah, I don't blame them.
I mean, when you live in California and you have in-state colleges like we do in California.
I mean, why not go here?
Why not?
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, it's ridiculous. But I wanted to get away, you know, to go and be an adult, man.
Yeah.
And my father's like, a woman don't need to be leaving the house until she's 21 years old. I'm Daddy.
I love your dad.
for a guy, what is it with fathers with daughters? What's up with that?
For a guy with two daughters, I love your dad.
Yeah, he didn't want to let me go I said, well, then how about UCLA? Nope, that take too long to get to you. I'm like, Dad.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's great, though.
He says, you can go to school at UC Davis. I could deal with that. Dad had a stutter. I could deal with that.
That's
awesome. I was like, Daddy, that's only like 45 minutes an hour. I haven't gone anywhere. You've gone far enough. I didn't need you where I can get to you.
Aww.
In less than 2 hours, I need to be where I can get to you. I'm like, oh, man.
Right. Well,
so I went to UC Davis, and then I took a year off, and I moved to New York.
Oh.
And
just because?
Just because. I wanted – I was going to be a lawyer because – this is what happened.
Right.
Went to UC Davis, started taking that bio-sci, and I was like, yeah, I'm not a math girl.
Okay,
really not. Much to my father's chagrin. Because, I said, civil engineer.
Yeah,
numbers were his game.
Yeah.
He had already had the firm picked out. It was going to be Eddie, and I was going to be the chemical engineer.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, right, Dad.
Wow.
You're not accepting that your child is not a numbers chick, right?
Yeah.
So, but I did like science.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I can cheat that out. What do I like to do? I love animals. So I can work this out. I can, you know, but it's not going to be any engineering. The straight number thing is not working for me.
Yeah.
So I jumped into the bio side that was the first class you had to take to qualify for pre-vet.
Yeah.
That kicked my ass.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
It tore me a new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was horrific. And then genetics.
Oh, man.
You know how bad your GPA has to be for the college president to call you in? That you know, they have a person that's over everybody and say to you, okay, here are your liberal arts grades and here are your science grades.
Yeah.
I cannot allow you to continue here if you continue to take math and science. You are not that person. Your liberal arts grades are what you're supposed to be doing.
Interesting.
And I'm like, but my dad, she says, if your father wants you to fail and be a failure, you continue on that path.
Wow.
I had this. She says, if you need me to write a letter, that's how bad it was.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good.
That's okay, though.
In hindsight, that's pretty valuable.
Well,
right?
It turned it because that's what sent me to the drama department.
Okay.
So I got to the drama department and
So this all happened in year one.
This was moving into the second year.
Okay, yeah.
And so, yeah, because I started going to the plays over at, you know, at UCD in the drama department on main stage. And I was really blown away with how professional it was.
Yeah.
And then we have the music circus up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I like I said, I've always enjoyed going to the theater, much, but I never thought about being on the stage. And so I started hanging out in the green room, and I found you actor people very interesting. You were some strange folks. I mean, just, oh, everything was just too much.
Yeah, you know? Still is. It's too much.
It just blows my mind. I will sit and watch actors today, and it's like, wow, really? Yeah. It's just a chipped nail.
Totally.
Yes. Do we need a soliloquy for that?
Bigger things in life.
Okay, yes, you know, just a few things, a little more important. So, hanging out in the theater department, I really enjoyed watching you actor people.
Yeah, I love how you say you actor people.
Because I'm not like y'all at all.
What building are we in, Sonja? Jeez.
Sure,
Sonja. Have you looked at your IMDb page?
Yeah,
you're
lately.
In the right room. Goodness gracious.
So I decided, well, I still have room for a minor.
Yeah.
So let me make that my minor. And then I found that I didn't have to do any, you know, performing for the minor.
Ah.
So I was like, well, let me do that. So I was taking this black history class, black theater history. Mm-hmm. And at the end, your final was an oral report.
Nice.
So I was giving the report. And afterwards, the professor came up to me and said, with a voice like that, you should be on stage.
Beautiful.
And I looked at him and I said, you are insane. That's okay. And he made me promise that I would audition for the next show. And I said, okay, how about this? I'll audition for the next black show.
All right.
That UCD has. I thought I was safe.
You thought there would never be.
No,
just,
the last black show was in 1977,
oh,
and it was
gosh.
The story of Malcolm X. I was safe. This is 1985. I'm fine.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
So I thought.
So right. What happened?
The next thing I know, the very next freaking quarter, it's Zora Neale. They did a play about Zora Neale Hurston. So it's like, okay, fine. Because my mother told me your word is your bond. I had to go because I
you
promised.
You had to. You promised.
Next thing I know, I wasn't even home.
What a great promise!
When he calls me and says you got it, I'm like, we got what? Because I've cast you in the play. I said, yeah, get out of here. He's like, yeah, you're in. I was one of the leads.
Amazing.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah,
none.
That's how usually it works.
No idea, and all these, you know, and it was a main stage play on top of that.
Oh, okay, so,
which
yeah.
was really unheard of for a non-major.
Yeah,
to be cast in, you know,
right,
but because they didn't
yeah.
have a whole lot of black folks, they had to go outside the, you know, they had to, you know, relax that rule.
I see.
But then they discovered I could sing.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I knew, I was doing Into the Woods. I was the witch.
Oh, fun.
There was, you know, a bunch of musicals that I
That's
wound
so
up doing.
Awesome.
And then, you know, the English professors, because we had a thing with the BBC and they would send over their directors.
Oh, wow.
And they would work with us, and they discovered my voice, and they're like, she must be on a stage in my Shakespeare play.
Oh.
So the next thing I knew, I was a Shakespearean actress.
Oh,
wow.
So I did Comedy of Errors and all that, and then Peer Gynt
wow.
and all that stuff. And it was,
I love
it was
college.
Fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was really cool hanging out with, you know, you trippy ass actors.
Yeah.
Do you know? Miss... because obviously you've gone on and done a lot of things that we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But do you miss theater?
Yes.
You do. Yeah.
Very much so. One of my fantasies, the only thing that I will say that once I admitted that I was a professional actor.
Yeah.
Because it took me about
5 years.
Sounds
like you're still
years.
Struggling with that a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
She's in denial still.
Yeah, but once I felt okay about putting it on my tax returns.
Oh, yeah, right?
Then it's real because
yeah,
the government says so.
Oh, for real,
yeah.
Once that happened... I said, okay, the one thing I want to do before I leave this planet is originate a musical role on Broadway. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting.
All anybody right.
Anybody out there writing a
Come
musical.
On.
Lin-Manuel.
Because you've done a lot of TV. You've done a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a lot of guest spots. You've done series. You've done
mm-hmm.
daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into all those. But what is it? What would be – because everyone's different. Every every genre is different, right?
Yep.
So what, from a an artistic point of view, which one do you prefer?
Ooh, I can't. You know, the, every time I get this question, I never can answer this question because I love each and maybe it's the Gemini thing, but I love each and every one of them.
Because I always see your horoscope posts. See, by the way,
I'm like, oh really? Sonya?
I go, is this automatic? Because it pops up like at 4 a.m.
Yes,
I'm like,
it is. Yeah.
Sonya.
I
got to get some sleep. We don't need to be posted.
Sometimes it is me. Sometimes I am up and doing the vampire thing. Hey, Bradford.
That's right.
And sometimes it'll just, you know, and sometimes it's better than going up in smoke. And sometimes I will let it, you know, just automatically do it. But I love each aspect.
Sure.
Each genre for its own thing. I loved doing sitcoms because that's the closest to stage.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have your audience there and it's just a whole nother energy.
Yeah, it's live. Mm-hmm.
But movies are really cool because it's a contained thing.
Yeah.
And you can spend more time with your character.
Yeah.
And round the character out. It, you know, okay, so yeah, I haven't been a lead, but when I decided to go ahead and do this, I decided to commit. I don't have the Meisner and all the Strasburg and all that stuff. I don't have all. I don't know. I know the names, but I don't know what they are.
Okay, sure. Right? Yeah.
Okay. But I do remember kids talking about build your character, write a history for it. So I do that for everything.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how small the role is. I do it for everything.
Sure. Yeah.
So which I find helps me inform the character.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, plays, obviously, there's nothing like it. I think that the best actors are theater actors. Forgive me if I'm offending anyone.
I ain't
offended. Besides Bradford, yeah.
Besides him, yeah. I mean, there are those anomalies.
Yep.
There are.
I have been called an anomaly before.
You know, and I think that the best training that you're going to get is being on stage because you're going to learn how to be a generous actor.
There's nothing like
that. That is something I have to say about you, Steve. I don't know if you've ever done theater. But you are an amazingly generous actor.
It's true.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice.
I love working with you.
Oh, mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
You are
likewise.
Awesome.
We always have a lot of fun.
And
you bring so much fun. You know, the greatest thing about your character, and it's a lot like when Bradford got here, we didn't have any comedy relief.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anyone who had a kind of a big personality and was like, oh, I can't wait to see what Epiphany's doing or what Spinelli's going to do in the situation. And it's like so unique because I think probably this is the only show that has characters like you guys that have been on for 12, 13 years, which is amazing, you know? And because I always ask, I go, are you sure you didn't ever do stand-up comedy? Because she's so funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think, you know, you love live audiences. And comedy.
Yeah, that's a way to die quickly. That's okay.
Right. But it's okay, but we could die together. We're all dying together.
Dude.
But thank you for the compliment, and I love working with you, and we've had so many laughs.
We have, you know, one of my favorite scenes was one of the first scenes we ever did together in the elevator.
Right.
You know, and I remember we could barely get through that.
Oh, man.
We were laughing so hard.
It was the best.
I forget who was
directing this. Someone just posted it, too. Someone just posted the one where I took you hostage.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
is
that
did they post that one?
Yeah, someone just posted that, like,
all right,
a couple months ago where I come out of the elevator, and it was just so
funny. Oh, Lord, help me, please. And then the elevator closes. Okay, now poke me with that gun again.
Yeah.
And that was in the old reception area for do we have that reception area anymore for the hospital?
That's gone.
No. Yeah, but I remember that used to be the waiting room, like the
and then we did night shift.
Night shift together. Oh, that was a lot of fun.
And that was a lot of fun too.
Remember that's when we all felt like we were like things were trending up.
Yes.
Yeah. You're so dumb. He looks at everything so negative now.
No. But that was a super exciting time to be here because
yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
The brand was expanding.
Yes, it was.
Right? And they said, hey, you guys, you're on the mothership. Expand this brand with us.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
I was very excited about that. I was very excited. And I felt complimented.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because
right?
I don't know how you guys feel. Well, I know you don't feel like this, but you maybe. I always feel like nobody sees what I'm doing.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? I come in, I turn in my, you know,
yeah,
I
you
do my
punch
work,
your card,
and then
your
I roll out, right?
Right.
And I don't feel like, I'm always surprised when somebody says something to me.
Yeah, interesting. Know,
when
yeah.
I'm out, because I feel like you don't see me.
Right. Hmm.
Or I'm not being seen. I don't know how to. Yeah. I don't mean like, oh, nobody needs me. Yeah, I don't mean it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
you're just doing your work. And,
I'm just coming in and doing my work.
Well,
and
you're not.
Out.
You're not seeking validation. Maybe
no.
that's part
well,
of it.
I think,
you know
I
what
think
mean?
People already. The perception is that you're good and you're funny, and people already know that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, especially being how fast we go now,
mm-hmm.
there's really no time for. You know, as long as you're doing your work and you get your lines out
yeah.
for everybody,
yeah, yeah,
well, it's a good job. You know what I mean? Well, it's not like we have time to, you know, try to do a bit.
Oh,
or,
God, no.
You know, because some of the funny stuff with her, too, is I was the straight guy
mm-hmm.
and she
right.
was the one, you know, smacking me around of and yelling
course.
At me,
yeah.
which was always funny.
Right.
You know, but we don't have a chance
to do any of that anymore.
And there's not also a time to reflect on what just happened either.
Right.
No, right.
There's
you're moving
no time.
To the next. So there's if something special happened, there's not always the time to go, oh, wow. Like, mm-hmm. the, you know, we don't have time to stop and just be like, wow,
no.
we really found something.
No, that happened to us a lot on night shift.
Yes.
We had
I
time,
remember that.
We had a
yeah,
little
we,
time there.
We did. We, you know, because those days, I think we still did an episode in a day, right?
Yeah.
Fridays were night shift days.
Yep.
And but we'd go into the night. We had a longer day,
long
days. but yeah, we weren't doing a show and a half. We were doing a show.
A show, yeah.
You know, so yeah, I did feel it was a little different. It was weird because we were on the same set.
Mm-hmm. Well, they treated it almost like a primetime show.
Yeah,
in a way, not time wise.
They tried to shoot it.
They
a little
tried
bit
was a little. They just really spent time.
Yeah.
They spent time with it.
Yeah.
You know, and they got the players together mm-hmm. and we would talk about stuff.
Right.
And,
yes.
You know.
I mean, and we had Billy D, so it was automatically
man.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Come on,
oh,
man.
That dude's the best.
Dude,
that's
just,
Billy D. Williams.
That's just silk in a human form.
And that's all you need to say.
Well, and like, if I never work again, the fact that we worked with Billy D means I did something.
Something, right, right?
Do you know what I mean?
Like, timing was good.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was all right. Yeah,
that
was all right.
That was fun. So, but we got sidetracked a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
So there was, you were at UC Davis, and then you said you went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were telling us how that decision came about to get to New York.
Oh, I did a couple of shows. Then I left because I wanted to go to law school. Now I'm in my law mode because I realized that vet school took 12 years.
Oh yeah.
The animals can't talk to you, and the paycheck wasn't big enough for me.
Interesting, yeah.
So it's like I'm not spending all that
for
time. Yeah,
that's a lot of college bills to pay off if you're not
doing
it paying off quickly.
Okay, and my brain was going to be, you know, out there licensed to someone for $130,000, and it was going to take me forever to pay that back.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do something where I can hurry up and turn that around.
Totally. Yeah.
So that's what I liked words. I liked to read. You know.
Right.
And I discovered through theater that I liked. You know, I liked the aspect of being in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but what I also realized was I was a control freak, and that I think that's what the being in front of people did to me. Is like, oh, now you're waiting for me to tell you how to feel.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know,
there is some power.
It spoke to that part.
Yeah.
You know. I told you I'm aggressive. I got problems.
That's interesting, though.
That's an interesting take on it.
Well, yeah. You don't get that in TV, but you get that in theater.
Yeah, theater. Because I never dreamt about doing TV.
Right,
I thought
sure.
this is something that I'm gonna. It was like when you're a cheerleader, right?
Yeah.
This is what I do while I'm here, and it's great, and I'll have great stories to tell my kids.
Yeah.
You know, when they get to be that this age.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
That's how I looked at being in theater.
Yeah.
At UC Davis. This is just something I'm doing while I'm here right now.
Right. It didn't turn immediately into,
no.
I want to do this for the rest of my
no.
life.
Oh,
it
no.
turned into what, and that led you to law school, or investigate law.
Yeah, maybe this, and I started working for a couple of law firms in Sacramento, and I was like, oh, okay, to see what it was, because I like to investigate something, because when I give my all, I'm in. I'm 100% girl.
Right.
I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And so when I did that and I saw what it was, I can do this. This is right up my alley.
Yeah.
This is writing and reading and, you know, forming opinions and arguing in front of people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an arguer, but I like that the theatrics of it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I used to watch a lot of Perry Mason. Anyway.
Amazing.
So,
thankful our audience knows who that is.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, I was a Matlock.
Did
dude.
I just date myself?
Okay. No, you dated us.
Okay. So, y'all ignore all of that. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll just stick with Matlock.
Okay. There you go. Matlock works. Yeah. Diagnosis murder. Okay.
Yeah.
So, moved to New York because I wanted to go to school at NYU.
Oh, yeah.
Law school at NYU.
I'm familiar.
So I wanted to make sure that I liked New York because it was across the country.
Well, sure, yeah.
And I believe that you can't really know a place until you live in it.
Makes sense.
True.
You know, 2 weeks ain't going to tell me what I'm going to like about New York.
Sure.
No. Or hate about New York.
Right.
No. I had to go live in it and be in it, and you know, I'm an immersive chick. So I went, lived in Brooklyn Heights on Joralemon Street.
Oh, wow.
You know, that was awesome. The Twin Towers were still standing. Yeah. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Yeah,
I used to go out on the promenade and walk
the best view of Lower
every
Manhattan.
Day. Yeah. Every Sunday morning, I'd be up on my roof with my newspaper and my tea.
Yes.
And, you know, that was it. And then on Sunday afternoon, well, round about 10 o'clock in the morning, I'd get dressed and head out to Prospect Park.
Yeah.
I'd play softball.
Oh, nice.
And then there was this Italian joint that was right on the corner.
Sweet.
And that's where I would spend my day reading the newspaper. You know, and then I go walk around.
Such a different life. Huh?
And then I come back and I'd have dinner. I got to the point where the guy already had he knew what table I liked. He had everything set up. I never ordered anything different.
Wow.
You know.
That's great.
That was where I spent my Sunday. I miss that so much.
Oh, sure.
Neighborhoods. I miss neighborhoods.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're walking along and you see somebody out on the stoop. Yo, what's up? You know, you speak. Yeah, we don't have that here. But that's okay.
No.
You know, I decided that, you know, when I do hit it rich, I know exactly what brownstone I want. I'm telling the people to get out of my house.
Right. Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a check. Is it here? How much time? How much? Can you do it in 72 hours? Be moved? Get out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No.
It's mine.
So you're still thinking you want to get back there sometime.
Oh, right? I love New York. Yeah. I love New York. That was the one place that I have been. That when I put my foot out, because I took the train.
Yeah.
So when I stepped out in the train station, I felt a connection. It was electric.
Yeah.
It was one of those, this is where I'm supposed to be kind of feelings.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is where I belong.
Yeah.
And I, you know, fell right into it. I got lost a couple of times because the streets, the whole grid thing was like, what?
Oh, dude. That's like hieroglyphics to me.
Yeah.
If I don't have this guy.
Oh.
I love traveling with him. I just take him by the hand. And
oh, there you go. And he follows. This is a wonderful thing. He's a well-trained man.
Yeah. I have to follow.
You know?
I've been married 20 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a well-trained man. You know, that woman.
I got to get one of those. I got to get one of those kid leashes for him.
Oh, yeah. Now that would be something to see. Yeah, I would pay money for that picture.
Just put a little belt
around
him.
It's a different part of town, buddy. Calm yourself down.
This is not Greenwich.
Hey, this is a Jackal's Fantasy Row here. Okay.
So, yeah, I stayed out there for a year. You know, I realized I do not like the cold.
Oh, yeah. So, that is the one thing that comes along with it.
Yeah. Dude, when that wind comes blowing in off the East River.
Yeah, it's rough.
And it hits you in the face.
That's brutal.
And I didn't know that your breath could be sucked out of your body.
It's like playing softball again.
Dude.
getting hit.
Woo!
But when you turn the corner onto it, and then all of a sudden,
bam!
Yeah, exactly. It's like you walk into a wind tunnel. It's crazy.
Oh. Yeah. That was.
I do know that feeling.
Oh, that was something special.
HelloFresh, home cooked meals made simple. You get seasonal, simple recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your front door every week. All meals come together in 30 minutes max. It calls for less than 2 pots and pans and require minimal cleanup, which is amazing for guys.
Right.
3 plans to choose from. You get classic, veggie, and family with the option to switch between whenever your tastes change.
So
I love it.
Make your family dinners fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested and approved family plan recipes. Now,
that's important.
Well, isn't it? It's the most important thing. I can attest to the picky eater, kid-tested and approved. So the first one that I made, yes, Steve, I made it, was sweet and smoky pork tenderloin with apple carrot slaw, mashed potatoes, and cherry sauce. The kids loved this one.
Okay, I love it.
Let me tell you, the seasoning on the tenderloin was perfectly flavorful, sweet and smoky, but it wasn't too much for the kids. You know how sometimes too much spice can be? It wasn't too spicy. It wasn't overbearing for the children. They loved it. Of course, the mashed potatoes were a hit. And the apple carrot slaw was fresh and delicious, not too much mayo. It was just like it was like a coleslaw that was just fresh.
It's fresh, and it's HelloFresh to you, by the
way. That's right. What'd you guys make?
First of all, it's exciting to get the box at the door. Okay.
God, it is. It's so.
And I'm like, oh, give me the. I'm putting all the ingredients in the fridge, and Sheree's like, what is going on here?
The packaging is recyclable. It's not a lot of trash too, which I love.
No, it's great. So we made the chicken cheddar fajitas because it was instead of Taco Tuesday, it was Fajita Tuesday.
Fabulous Fajita Tuesday.
Yeah, Fajita Friday. So bell pepper, lime crema, pickled jalapeno. The kids loved it. Ooh. It was definitely kid approved because Jack was like, Dad, can we have the fajitas again tonight? And I said, we have to wait for the next box. So we loved it, man.
And we have a great deal for you guys. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/That's Awesome 80. That's awesome 80. And enter That's Awesome 80.
So again, go to HelloFresh.com. That's Awesome 80. And enter That's Awesome 80. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essential brand that believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping.
Stevie, I got me some incredible underwear from these folks.
Much information.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you how much better my day is when I'm wearing good underwear. It's kind of like the foundation of a house. You got to have a good foundation. Am I right?
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Sure, buddy. What kind of underwear did you get?
Okay. Well, since you asked, my favorite of the underwear are the trunks. So it's a little more leg than briefs, right? But not quite as much leg as boxer briefs. So kind of just right in the middle there, just right for me. What did you get? Let's talk about you.
I got some, I wear a lot of thermal, so I got the kind of the knit waffle long sleeve.
Yes. Let me guess, in black?
Correct, sir. Ding, ding, ding. Look, man, I obviously wear a lot of black, so I have to get black, and it's great for me because I get up early. Sometimes it's a little chilly out,
yeah.
It's good for an extra layer, going to the gym, coming to work. You know, I might even wear one on a date with my wife because it's so comfortable. And basically, I have one uniform and I've just added a long sleeve version of it, which is great.
Awesome. Well, ordering is super easy. It's a beautiful website. It's easy to figure out your size. And shipping was super fast, even to California.
Well, for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code That's Awesome at checkout.
Ladies, if you are the purchaser of your husband's underwear, get the guy comfy, looking good. Heck, looking like Steve Burton in that underwear.
Yeah, well, calm down. Again, go to MackWeldon.com and enter That's Awesome at checkout for 20% off of your first order.
That's Awesome, one word, at checkout at MackWeldon.com.
So a year in New York, and then...
I went back to school. Back to UC Davis.
Yeah.
And then I knew that I wanted to go to school, but I knew I couldn't go to school in New York. There was too much to get into, and I would flunk out. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to go to Bolt over at UC Berkeley.
Oh, yeah.
And either Bolt or Davis, and I didn't think I could take Davis for 8 years because that's a lot of cows.
So we're still thinking law school here.
Yeah, I was still going to go to law school.
Yeah.
And then I was back in the theater program, and I started doing a lot of leads, which were pissing the majors
the other
off.
People
off. Ooh, the majors got mad. It's like, she's not even a drama student. Why is she getting the leads? And the professors are like, welcome to life as an actor.
Yeah, right,
there will be
right.
people that you feel are not qualified that are going to get the role over you.
Yeah.
You need to watch them and see why they're booking and you're not. And
right,
I'm like,
right.
Yeah, I heard somebody say that, a professor say that to one of the students. And I thought, wow, that's harsh.
It's real life, though.
I had no idea.
It's real life.
And so I was doing a lot of that. And a couple of the BBC directors pulled my parents aside and said, why is she not entertaining this as a career?
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were like, when I heard my mom came back and asked me the question, I said, well, there's nobody on TV except the Jeffersons that look like me. Those jobs are gone. And I want to know that I'm eating every day.
Sure.
I don't want to have to worry about right. that. I knew enough and had been watching the seniors enough to know that I was not trying to live like that. I didn't have that kind of commitment.
That's amazing at a college age kid to be like, I don't want to be a gypsy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, that's that. Yeah.
I had no desire for that at all. Yeah. No stability, because I come from a stable household.
Yeah.
I come from, not to say that other actors don't, but I didn't have that kind of passion.
Sure.
For it to, you know, because I was
to
told,
be like, hey, I'm going to do this for
go.
Life for free.
Yeah,
I don't care.
And there you
what,
go.
That's what they always say.
That's like, if you wouldn't do it for free, then don't do it.
Right, exactly. And you weren't about to do it
I wasn't trying to do that.
I wasn't trying to do that.
It was like, nah, a bitch need a job and a paycheck. Yo.
That's true.
Yo, hey. Yo, because I'm not trying to live with my parents forever. That's
right.
Okay. That's all right.
Right.
So, after that question came in, I was like, yeah, that, you know, that's not happening. Another BBC director pulled us all aside and said, yeah, you really need to be thinking about this as a career.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm cool. I'm going to be an attorney. And the guy looked at me and he said, an attorney? Aren't there enough solicitors in the world? And I'm like, one, what's a solicitor? You know, and I was shocked that people thought I could do this as a living.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it wasn't until another friend, he ran the publicity department at UCD. His friend is Michael Lerner.
Mm.
And Michael knows Joel Zwick.
Okay.
Joel Zwick saw some tapes that were sent to him, and he asked me to come to L.A. to talk to him about being an actor. And I wasn't going to go. But then I met Ruby Dee.
Oh, yeah.
And Ruby Dee said to me, child, you need to be thinking about doing this as a career. Oh, Miss Dee. No, like I'm going to tell Ruby Dee. Miss Dee, no, I'm going to be an attorney. She looked at me, she grabbed me by the hand.
She goes, said, don't we have enough solicitors?
Child, I don't think that's your path. But okay, the Lord is going to sort you out. And I was like, okay, why did that sound like a curse?
So, right,
it's gonna sort you out, yeah. So, you know, fast forward, I'm here in L.A. meeting with Joel Zwick, really not understanding what that meant.
Mm. Yeah.
He says to me, there's nobody here like you. This was 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
There's nobody here like you. You could, you know, make a living. I said, look, if I was going to be a professional actor, I would be in New York on stage. He says, you'll starve to death. That's what stage actors do. They starve.
Right.
Yeah.
I was that stage actor who had disdain for TV actors.
Yeah.
I felt there was no honoring of the craft. If I'm going to do this, it's going to be about the craft.
It's
got to
be legit.
Yeah, yeah, dude. You know, it's not real unless there's dust in my lungs, you
right,
know?
Right, for sure, yeah.
And no money in your bank.
No man, you know, all that, you're right? If I'm not in a theater or a dinner theater situation, I'm not a real actor.
Right, yeah.
You know, but my mom and my dad, Midwesterners, let me say it again.
I know.
Okay, well, Midwestern and South. We're talking folks from Missouri and Arkansas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Said to me, maybe you want to think about doing this acting thing.
Wow.
Well, if those two people who have never, there's not an actor.
Yeah.
There's not
or
an
ever
entertainer.
Entertained the
right.
idea of even someone being
okay,
an actor.
No, no. Not in our whole family.
Yeah.
Nobody. Like, no.
Wow.
So for my parents to say something like that, I had to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And my dad said, look, law school will always be there.
Yeah.
The seasons, the people who have gone out and lived some life and come back.
Sure.
Do better in law school. He says, you give it a couple of years. If it doesn't work, go to law school. I was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, well, maybe I need to listen to the parents.
But that's great. Man, yeah. That's great that he said that.
Yeah. So that's how I wound up here. I was here.
Man, you tried to shut the door.
I tried. It still took me a year after that.
You tried to shut that door.
I kept, look, I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. No, no, no. All sorts of things went wrong. I was getting pushed. I wasn't just getting pushed, I was getting rammed to go to LA.
Yeah.
Everything around me was shutting down.
It's so funny because that's such a rare story.
That's
There's
great.
You know, like no one, I, you know,
it's usually
rare.
The other way around.
It's usually the other way around. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So you had
that's
a year
crazy,
here,
man.
And do you remember a turning point where you were like, ah, okay, I get.
When I knew I had no choice or knew that I was an actor.
Both, I guess.
I knew I had no choice when I had been here in L.A. for 3 months, and the next thing I knew, I had an agent, and I don't know where they came from.
Someone just started calling you?
Uh-huh. Swear to God, yeah.
What?
I've got your picture here. Are you represented? No. You want to come in and meet? Okay.
Right.
I didn't know what that meant.
Wow.
Because they don't teach you that.
No.
They don't teach you okay.
any of
that.
I go in. Well, yo, you got something prepared for me? And I'm looking to prepare. What you talking about?
Yeah.
You asked me to come in. Why I got to prepare something for you?
Right.
Look,
yeah.
you know what? Maybe this is wrong. No. Here. And he handed me this monologue. And he said, just read that for me. I said, just read it? He said, yeah. I mean, like you're performing it. Like you're rehearsing.
Right.
I'm like, okay. I did it. He looked at me. He says, you're not represented. I said, I don't know what that means, but if you mean do I have somebody like you, no. I just got here.
Right.
He said, well, you want to be my client? And I'm like, okay.
Oh,
boom, I had an agent. I don't know. Then I got Taff Hartley'd.
Yeah.
That never happens.
Yeah.
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 Never happens.
Not often.
Yeah, and so – that's when I realized those things happen 1, 2, 3.
Right. Within the first
three within months.
For people listening, those three things are usually the hardest things.
Taff Hartley is meaning you're getting hired to a union project as a non-union person.
And they're going to let you into the union because of that job.
Yeah, so that's
they're saying that they couldn't find anybody else in the body of the union that could do that role like you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As the non-union
and
person.
And that's hard. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
It's a hard for to become SAG was very difficult.
Yeah. I didn't have to
growing
do
up.
And then you had to do the vouchers. You guys remember the vouchers? Mm-hmm. Maybe not you.
Yeah, I don't remember
the voucher thing. I didn't have to go through all that.
Oh wow, yeah.
That's amazing.
Once that happened, I still didn't know what that meant until I told
somebody
actors,
else.
My acting friends,
yeah.
that I got Taff Hartley'd, and the whole room just got quiet.
Yeah, you son of a.
Yeah. Dude, Steve, for real. Six people stopped talking to me.
There you go. Welcome to Hollywood.
I mean, instantaneously, six people. I was called that bitch and nobody talked. I was like, whoa, what just happened?
Right.
Because they had been struggling to get into the union. And
course.
Here I come on my first audition for my first project and book it. And then I get Taff Hartley.
Yeah.
Thank you, Living Single.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That was it?
Yeah. And then wind up not getting, not shooting it because Queen Latifah got sick.
Oh, man.
So that job just happened so I would get into the union.
That's amazing.
Next job was Drew Carey. The next job was Married with Children. I was booking the big stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And were you enjoying it?
I was having a ball.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was having a ball because I'm like, this is never going to happen again. It's like, okay, 2 years and I'm out, right?
Yeah. Oh, you still had that exit plan, yeah.
Yeah, because my dad's like, a couple of years, if it's not working out,
be a lawyer.
There you go. Right. And that's all I was thinking is I'm going to do this, and this once again will be something interesting for me to talk about on dates. I was a professional actor for like 2 minutes.
Right, just a novelty.
Yeah. God says.
Yeah, make plans.
Make
God
a plan.
Likes.
I got something for you. So, yeah.
And then it just kept
it
on.
It just kept going. And I was going to quit because we had that strike. You weren't around for that.
Yeah.
We had the strike in the late 90s, and that took the wind out of my sails.
Mm-hmm.
I was primarily, I would book somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 to 120 commercials a year. I had a 98% booking rate.
That is unbelievable.
And it was pretty much, you couldn't turn on your TV for like
Sonya.
A 2 year period
They're
without seeing me. Yeah, that was one time I had like 3 commercials in a row. And again,
wow.
I lost another 3 people. They stopped talking to me.
We don't
know what the hell. So that's when I realized, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to stop saying I'm going to be an attorney.
Well, and that was
that's not going to happen.
That was a good era for commercials too, right?
Yeah.
Oh man. Good
I got I had 3 those, Super Bowl spots.
Those 90s commercials?
Mm-hmm.
You get paid.
Oh, no you don't.
Then or not anymore.
No, I didn't then.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't?
I got paid that one booking fee at the it was the prestige of because I got a lot of work.
I'm talking
about the Super Bowl ones.
The Super Bowl ones. Oh, yeah, I was just talking
about
the normal.
No, the regular ones. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are
you
good.
Can get one commercial and you're
good, yeah.
$60,000-$80,000.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did one job one year and it was a Chevy commercial and I was $50,000.
Oh, dude. Yeah. You were getting, you,
it was amazing.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, my whole career was,
right.
The TV was the gravy.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you're meat and potatoes.
My meat, but with the, you know, in the commercials, it's like, psh.
Yeah,
well, there's nothing to it. You come in, you give a look,
you shoot one day, and you're done,
and you're out.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You wake up at the crack of dawn, and you're home by 3.
I know,
Ugawa.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow. That was amazing.
Yeah, so you know, that's how everything started. That's how.
Do you? At what point did you connect to the either the process of it, or when did it start to feed you? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, or...
Oh, wow.
Or has it? Is it still just a job, or is it something that, like...
No, it's not just a job now. Now it is. It's part of... I can't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah.
I think...
Because it's hard to think, oh, that commercial, when I gave that look about that whatever, it's probably not that, right? Or maybe it was. I don't know.
Well, okay. I realized that I had an ego when I booked. I came in. I went in it for a PSA, auditioned for it. The director got up and walked out, and came back. And the casting director, there was some kind of signal that they did, and she got up and walked out, and she came back, and she says, "Well, I guess that's it." And I'm like, "Well, okay, y'all, I'll see you later." She's like, "Where are you going? You just said that's it." She says, "No, no. He sent everybody else home."
Wow.
You booked the spot. And I'm like, on a first call.
Wow.
You know that don't happen.
No, that sure don't. No.
That don't happen.
Yeah.
No.
So, no. You know, God's hand has been in everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, all righty then.
Right.
That's when I realized there is something here. I realized that there was a level of art to doing. It wasn't just go in and throw a look and do your thing.
Right.
There was an art to it.
Sure.
And so that was really cool, learning how to do that, or because I was learning on the fly.
Sure.
I never went to any classes. I didn't have time.
Right.
Every single time I tried to take a class, I would work.
Book something, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm tired of, you know, spending $500 and I'm just handing people money.
Yeah, right?
Because
exactly.
They wouldn't give it back.
They're
like,
sure,
oh, you
don't.
Booked it. No, they don't
no,
care.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then when I got to work with James Earl Jones
and
George Stafford Brown, he was the director
On
a show called The Reading Room for Hallmark back in the day when, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I realized that I can be an artist.
Interesting.
With it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
It's like I went from wanting to do a good job and not embarrass myself to something deeper.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, I feel in your journey, listening to you, is there wasn't that creative wanting to be creative until later in your life, which is interesting. No, it's just, I mean, because it was so, hey, sports and college and this is what I'm going to do. This is my path. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to do that. I'll dabble. No, it's cool. It's fun. But, you know, it's like as artists, there's always that creativity that you want to keep because we talk about doing other projects you know, just, you know, maybe doing stand up or not doing just something creative. Like we get to go on the road with our shows and you're in front of a live audience and you're creating, you know, it's so interesting that it came later for you.
Yeah.
You tried to fight. You tried to fight. You fought it.
Ooh, tooth and nail,
you lost.
Man. Hard.
Yeah.
I think it was about 10 years of no.
Just
no,
not accept
no,
kind of.
No,
huh?
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Until I realized I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not put a decade of my life in this. I guess I'll have to ride this one out until the wheels fall off because
sure.
I'm not going to try at 30 years old to find something new to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially when I realized I didn't understand how hard it was because I didn't experience.
Sure. Yeah. You didn't know
that.
Expectations.
Okay.
Also.
So, yeah. And so things came easy.
Yeah.
For me, when I started, that's also about 10 years in when I started to see actors that like you have your classes come in, right?
Yeah.
It was when I started seeing actors that came in with me who were doing other things. They gave it up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I would run into them or, you know, whatever, and have little conversations like you do over coffee. Let's meet, blah, blah, blah. Tell me what's going on with you. And realizing, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Doing it, yeah.
Out of everybody in my you know, college course in the drama department, I'm the only one that's a professional actor.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be one.
Right, yeah.
Which probably pisses a lot of people off.
Sure it does.
So it's just interesting how it's just interesting how that works out.
And so you built up a body of work at commercials and you know TV shows and then
movies.
2006 comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Had you done daytime before?
Nope. Well, kind of, sort of. I did YNR.
Okay.
And it was interesting, but it scared the living daylights out
well,
of me.
Sure.
Because the speed.
Right, yeah.
In which y'all move is ridiculous.
Well, you can quit saying y'all now because
well,
you've been
I'm
here
one
for
of them. But you know, at the time,
years.
It was a y'all.
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
It, just,
yeah.
it blew
and
me
at
away.
The time, they weren't moving that fast.
No, and it was still
fast.
Incredibly fast
yeah.
to me
of
because
course.
I was mostly a date, you know, a TV
sure.
movie girl.
Yeah. Or when you do a commercial, you're saying five lines in a day.
And you're out. You know, it still wasn't, it was a whole different creature.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a different kind of speed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So like you said, you're not reciting a book.
No.
Essentially, which I didn't pick up until I started working here.
Yeah.
We shoot a movie a week.
A day.
Well, a day. Because we're knocking out
yeah.
over 100 pages a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A day.
It's nuts.
It's crazy talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I, YNR, I was just, really?
What'd you do over
I
there?
I played a prisoner.
You did?
Yeah.
For how many days?
I was there 2 days.
2 days.
Yeah.
And you had some dialogue, like
uh-huh.
your first
mm-hmm.
couple
I
of scenes?
I think I had like 3 or 4 words. I was under 5.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. And it was cool. It was cool. And I was like, okay. You know? But I saw... cue cards.
Sure.
Okay. And I was like, yeah.
Whoa, they have cue cards at
one They did
not,
then.
They
not did
anymore.
Then.
They did.
Not anymore. They yeah. did then.
And I could probably guess the year of this, but I won't.
Oh, please don't.
I'm like the guy.
Was it
I'm like the guy at the
that,
carnival.
That those days in YNR, was that in the midst of that kind of that high time of when
yeah.
you were working? Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It, wasn't directly before working.
So,
no, no, no.
When
no,
I was
no.
at Days in the late 80s, they had yeah. cue cards still.
Mm-hmm. For specific people or for everybody?
No, that was specific people.
Specific people.
Had,
and then
okay.
they had them here, too,
for
specific
people. Yeah.
And then they just got rid of them all.
Yeah.
Like, it must have been like a silent memo.
Uh-huh.
That,
every, that went around.
That all shows got, because they were like, no yeah. more, no more, no more. And like, and then, but mid-90s, no, there's no more cue cards.
Yeah. yeah. It was special.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel, the reason why they had the cue cards is because the whole script, they had, you know, those monster paragraphs. The whole thing changed. It was rewritten overnight.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
So it's like, whoa, but
yeah.
I, as a theater actor, wasn't picking it up.
Yeah.
What that meant.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, again, I wound up here and could see it up close because I didn't really
and
talk
some,
to anybody.
Yeah,
there.
And some people learned that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They got a TV job
yeah.
where it wasn't, hey, can I get cue cards? It
mm-hmm.
was, here are your cue cards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why don't you learn,
yeah.
why don't you take your acting talent
mm-hmm.
and mesh it with figuring out
yep.
how to read these cue cards.
Yeah, and not sound like you're reading, yeah.
And not sound like you're reading. So it's actually probably fairly difficult to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be all our first choices, right?
No.
You want to know the material and
yeah.
be free enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, until you get to a place like Brando where you're just so good and so crazy that
yeah.
you just start writing little notes and sets
mm-hmm.
that are your lines. Did you know he did that?
I didn't know.
Yeah,
and
so he
first
put
thought,
his lines
I,
over around someone,
around the set, mm-hmm.
and now Maurice tries to do.
That's
oh, that
I'm like, dude,
I
you're not Brando.
I thought you were talking about Brandon Barash for a second, so that's why I got confused at
no,
first.
Oh yeah, Marlon Brando.
No, he went back in time on you.
Yeah. Marlon Brando.
Don't confuse the children.
It was funny though because we did this scene the other day, Maurice and I. And he was supposed to be reading a segment from the book.
Uh-huh.
So anytime they have us read a letter or the book, they usually props will print it out
uh-huh.
for you and put it in the book or give you the letter
right.
so you don't have to memorize.
Well, I also love
something.
That. If you're supposed to be reading a letter and you have it memorized,
It doesn't sound.
Sound like you're reading a letter,
right?
So like, there are times where Spinelli has to read emails or something, right? Or like when we were doing that, when you're trying to figure out who wrote that book, that Faison book,
right? Yeah,
we had to read
Severed Branch.
Yeah, we had to read a lot of passages, and I wrote them down because I was like, this sounds. If I know them already, I'm anticipating the words, and it's better just to read it because that's what the character's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be reading it for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's more authentic.
So Maurice had he was like, well, why is it not in the book? Why can't I read it for the book? They're like, ah, we just – it's not written down. We need you to, you know, say it. He goes, well, I didn't memorize it. It was a it was a bit of a speech. So I ripped my page – the speech out of my script. And he's like, all right, I'll just do it. And they weren't paying attention. So we hid
– That's amazing.
We hid the little note like it was in the metro court against the candle. And you see him kind of look down a little bit and come back. You know, he can pull that stuff off.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull it off because the way I act, I couldn't do it. Yeah. You'd be like, what's that guy looking down for at the thing? It doesn't matter.
The great thing was Maurice, he could even cover his eyes.
I know, he'd just be kind of like,
cover his eyes with his hand.
Yeah.
And be reading.
Totally be reading. He'd be working it too. You'd be taking moments like nobody's business.
See, I'm telling you, man. Are things that you just don't as an act. Well, I'm claiming it now as an actor.
Welcome to Hollywood, Sonia. Welcome. I know you've been in SAG for 20 plus years. Welcome.
Yes. No, thank you. Thank you. I just didn't realize the skill level that was required to be.
I don't think people do
a soap opera actor. So I had disdain. Because I thought what I was seeing were bad habits. Well, hell, the fact that anybody gets anything passable on camera
is a friggin' miracle.
It's a friggin' miracle.
It's a victory.
You know? I didn't understand that again until I came here and could see it. And because, you don't really, when you're on a under five, it's a whole different perception.
Of course. Sure.
But when you're, here in a character, it's a different story.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a different level of expectation, I guess, I should say, for you. So,
For sure.
And for me, I grew up watching GH. So
no kidding.
Yeah. So it was like, it was a mind bender.
Yeah. good word.
Yeah.
There was a mind bender for sure.
Yeah. So when I met.
Who was it? Who did you fangirl out on?
Oh, God. Let's see. Leslie.
Yeah.
Sure.
My first scene was with Leslie.
You're like, that's Monica. Alan. That's Monica Quartermain.
Your first scenes were with wow, that's crazy.
Stuart and Les?
Yeah, Stuart and Les.
Oh, man. That was my first scenes were with them on the show.
I flipped out because I remember him as Prince Charming.
Of course, everyone does.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so.
He was the man.
My brain was like, that's Prince Charming. And then I'm seeing her. It's like, that's Monica Quartermain. Mind blown. I literally, and I think it was Bill that directed me on my first scene. And I'm standing there and we're going through the blocking. And I said, you know what? I said, can you guys give me a second? And they all looked at me like, what the hell is wrong with her?
We don't have a second, by the way.
Yeah. But I didn't know. It was my first day. I didn't know. And I didn't care because I was having a meltdown. Right. I said, I will be right back. I walked away around the corner. Over by the elephant door, screamed at the top of my lungs, I can't effing believe I'm here.
That's amazing.
At the top of my lungs,
yeah.
Came back. Leslie was looking at me like, I said, it's okay. I'm okay now. It's okay. Stuart's like, are you sure? And I'm like, I said, yeah. I said, I'm just not going to look at you. And he started laughing.
That's funny.
And so that was my first scene. My second scene was with Rick Springfield.
Wow. God.
On the same day.
Man. I'm like, you're just going legend to legend.
Yeah, I lost my ever-loving mind. Oh, because I remember when I was a teenager and I went to one of his concerts, he's up there singing Jesse's Girl, and he reached down, and I touched him.
Yeah.
And like, I touched your hand. Do you remember that?
And he's still doing it, by the way.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
He's like, 22
amazing.
Years ago, some teenage girl touched my hand. Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah. You're the one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a connection, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, he still does 100 dates a year.
I know. He's
amazing. He's a machine. Yeah, it's really just like, wow. And to get to meet everybody and them being as nice as everyone is.
Right.
I don't know about the other shows, okay? Right. I know here.
Sure.
Yeah.
You guys are amazing. It really is a family.
Yeah.
And yeah, I am biased because I grew up watching it. I think they're the best actors in the game on this show.
We hope so, right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not to insult anybody.
No.
But
I get it. I get it.
What we have to do here?
Yeah.
I think it's because we're the ones that are maybe the most grounded in reality.
You mean the
real storytelling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's tough stuff.
It's a different kind of approach that we have to
it's
have.
A lot.
It's just I've learned a lot. Yeah. I've learned a lot working with y'all.
Well, and so the work that you had done up until this point, obviously we're doing more material, and I imagine a lot of the commercial stuff you did was funny stuff,
mm-hmm.
and was most of the work, what was the most, like, was Epiphany a different character for you in terms of, like, what she got to experience sometimes, how was the work for you here?
Okay.
Hold on. Let's stop for one second.
Yeah.
So what show? Because you're on a show. You just did a pilot.
I just did a pilot. Uh-huh.
But what was the true TV thing?
That is called Those Who Can't, and we're having our season finale this coming Monday.
Oh yeah, I just saw that.
So what kind of character? How long have you been playing that character?
3 years.
So you've had a good three-year run with a different...
Oh, God, I love Tammy Sherman.
With a different character. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. She's awesome. She is a little bit of Epiphany, but there's a whole lot of something else going on. I don't even know what to call that. It's just she's a
fun,
whole different chick.
Really?
She is no-nonsense like Epiphany, and that's about, to me, that's about where that stops as far as the comparison is concerned. Epiphany... I don't know if you guys know this, but one, I did not audition for this role.
Oh, interesting.
They saw the PSA and brought me, they put out a search. You know how they do the searches.
Okay, yeah.
Whoever represents that woman in the PSA, call us.
Yes.
So that's what happened.
What was the PSA for?
It was anti-smoking.
Ha! Gotcha.
Don't tell nobody. Okay. I was a nervous wreck because I used to smoke then. Yeah. I was a nervous wreck. I was
like, hold on.
So I'm going to be in a car. Somebody's going to pull up next to me.
Hey, you're in the PSA.
Yeah, like, put that down. They saw that, and I was only supposed to be, three shows. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to come in.
Dude, that's how it
is.
I'm telling you, I came in reoccurring. It's amazing to come in reoccurring.
Ain't it? It's the best.
It is.
You know,
it's great.
Well, I knew that you were going to. Come on, man.
I didn't know.
I knew there was no way they were not going to bring you on full time.
When did you start?
I started about a month before you.
Okay. Yeah. I knew we were right around the same time.
I started March 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. March 6th, I believe it was.
So, and that was 2006? 2006?
2006,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was September or November or October of that year.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You were right behind me. I know that.
Yeah.
You were right behind me.
Yeah.
And when I saw you, I was like, damn. That boy is good.
Well, he can run in circles.
I mean, the stuff that you have, they have you say.
Oh, I know.
Like,
there's nobody else who could do it.
Woo!
It's funny. You know? I haven't done it in so long. Like, because even still, when I'm here, I don't talk like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'll go back and watch it, and sometimes I've tried to like replicate it just to myself, going, "Can I still do this?"
Mm.
And I remember when I come here, sometimes I have to warm up my tongue and my lips because some of those.
And drink a lot of caffeine.
That too.
Gracious greetings, Mr. Sir.
Okay.
To get your tongue and your teeth and your lips working together to enunciate all of those.
All of that. Because if you didn't do it, if that was the thing. I think that's where your theater training came in.
Oh, it did.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Your theater training and your musical background.
Those weird warm ups.
Oh, he needed that. But
it.
Because
do
he knows
one
how to
for
do
us
it.
Now.
Yeah?
Well, I have to warm up my jaw sometimes too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so no. My favorite one was.
Oh gosh.
Uh huh.
No, let's not do that one on camera.
I think
too
that
late.
Was the best one.
We got you.
I figured that was the best one for Karen. I got to warm up my jowls.
What the hell is happening?
I got to warm up my jowls.
This just took a left turn. Okay, Sonya's like, okay. Oh, there goes Sonya. She's out of here.
Go. Yeah.
She's speeding off the lot. She's speeding off the lot.
Well, and so you got that True TV show, but then do you have something else going on?
Right now, yes.
Oh, my gosh. What do I have going on?
You just did
a pilot
with...
I did a pilot with Edie Falco.
Nice.
That was awesome.
In the last couple months of this season?
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
That's amazing.
And I just know that's going to go. That's going to go.
Yeah? Did you... That's Edie Falco. You got a sense of what you guys were doing, or did you just get a sense because of her?
Well, the script was off the chain.
What network is it for?
CBS.
Wow.
CBS, and it's called Tommy.
Okay.
Cool.
And
No Pinball Wizards or anything?
No Pinball Wizards, unfortunately. Because I'm like, dude, if I get to wear one of those capes, I'm done. This is awesome. And no more dreams ever.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
So, yeah, CBS, and it's about the first female chief of police in L.A.
Okay,
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so were you, if the show gets picked up, is there more stuff for you to do with your guest star?
I hope to God.
Well, yeah.
Because I was a guest star. You know, I hope that I can work my gift. I do have a gift of turning things, one-time things, into multiple things. Yeah. I've never been hired as, except for those who can't. Yeah. And that was supposed to be a one-time thing.
Right.
You know, and the next thing you know, you come back, and then they finally say, you know what, here,
sign it.
Is this going to be a procedural, or is it going to be totally character-driven, or what? Could you tell from this first one?
It is more, it's more character-driven, although there are some elements of procedural.
Kind of like, maybe like Madam Secretary kind of thing? Like where
Madam Secretary is still a little more structured.
Okay.
Than what I saw.
Sure.
Okay.
Cool.
I think it's going to, people who are into the serialized things.
Yeah.
There will be that element.
Right.
Because the characters that they have created are very strong. The actors are all the lead actors are all from New York.
Amazing.
Right. Yeah.
From the theater.
Yeah. So, who else is in it?
Oh, geez.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm
okay,
not even
going to.
Edie Falco.
Just tune in to see Edie and.
Yeah. Because Edie does her thing.
Yeah.
She does her
She's
thing.
She's amazing. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sitting across from Edie Falco right
That's
now.
Awesome. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Don't fuck up.
She's working. You're working.
Okay? Like, wow.
You're working.
So, yeah, and I'm doing that now. I've moved into the production thing, so I'm a producer now.
Oh, wow.
I've got this horror film. I bugged the hell out of poor Steve about it. Yeah. I might come back and bug you
some
more.
Come on. Let's go.
He's very buggable.
I'm buggable.
We're about to get that produced.
Nice.
So, you know, I've gotten older. You know,
it does happen.
Hey, and you know what? Sometimes we just got to go into producing.
Yeah. Well, you know, when the roles ain't coming quite as fast and furious as these, because, you know, the strange thing that happens is, I don't know if you guys have experienced this. You get to a certain stature, right?
Yeah.
Then you're competing against the way established people. My competition is Queen Latifah.
That's tough.
Cheryl Lee Ralph. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm Sonya.
I know, fantastic Sonya.
Well, but you feel me.
Yeah, there's.
So when that started happening, I was like, okay, I am going to, what I'm going to get is going to start being far and few between. I need to have something. I need to be creative. Now that I've accepted this life.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to.
It's burning.
I need to do it, right?
Yeah.
It's burning. I need to do it.
Yeah.
So that's when I moved into, you know, producing, and that was you know, kind of like a stumble.
Yeah,
sure. You know? That's always oh my gosh, that's a tough road.
It you know it is when you, I didn't realize that everything is on the producer.
Yeah.
Everything. Nothing exists until the producer puts it together.
Correct.
Right. But you know, thank God I love jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like.
It's a bunch of problem solving, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's a lot of problem solving.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that it's like I'm a Scrabble player, and you know, and I think you are too.
Sometimes.
And so it's like when you are playing Scrabble and you see a word and you didn't realize you knew it. You know what I'm saying? That'll fit into that spot. And you're like, oh, Ibiza.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the way it feels to me. It's like, whoa, I didn't know I had that piece.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's exciting.
Yeah,
right?
I'm really learning a lot about myself.
Yeah.
You know, the cool thing about that too is as a producer, you have to have such a passion for it that you will figure it out.
Yep.
How to get the product
yep.
done. Right? As an actor, you're like, oh, I hope I get a job, yeah. an audition. I didn't get it. Oh, I got it. But with that, it's, you know, we always talk about kind of taking control, right? Of your destiny. Obviously, there was a plan for you and there still is. But the fact that you can start taking control and things into your own hands a little bit, which a lot of actors should do more.
I think so.
Because you open more doors. That's the bottom line.
Well, there's opening of the doors, but I also... for me, I don't know if you found it, but for me, it has directly impacted my acting.
Really?
Interesting.
And I feel like I'm a much stronger actor now.
Since you started producing?
Since I started producing.
What is that? What?
I think because now I know what the other side of the table is thinking.
And looking for.
And expecting.
Yeah.
Looking for.
And it, yeah, and expecting, right.
So it isn't, I still am creative, but I am.
You're definitely.
Way more business.
Looking
minded.
At it from a different perspective.
You know, I could see where, you know, as an actor, you don't really pay attention to it.
Sure. Right.
You come in, you do your thing, you roll.
Yeah.
Right.
Here, now being a producer, I'm thinking, okay, I have to turn this performance in because this is what they're going to have to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it makes me more mindful.
It's definitely, right. Yeah.
Of what I'm doing. I feel much more responsible. And like I said, I think it's made my acting even stronger.
That's great.
Wow. You know, if I was a strong actor, then I'm better.
So, well, something you're doing is working.
So what's this Eddie Ford thing, man?
Oh, and then there's Eddie Ford.
So I was trying to do some
enough to do.
I was trying to do some investigative.
Oh, look at you
reporting, and I'm like, who's this Tyler Ford? Who's Sonya Eddy? What is going on? Because I'd see her at events with, you know, she'd be tweeting stuff and having her products there. So just give me the, you know, because I'm an entrepreneur. So just give me the lowdown of what it is.
Well, the lowdown is Eddy Ford Beverly Hills is we call it a lifestyle brand because we do jewelry, perfume, candles, accessories, clothing. You know, all that, it's more of an attitude than a specific product.
Do you curate products or do you have your own products?
We have our own products.
Okay,
But I think in this next phase, we might start curating. So,
okay, cool.
And especially in the jewelry department because my partner does everything.
Mm-hmm.
All my job is to get out there and sell it. That's all I got to do.
Right.
I don't have to create shit.
Yeah.
He writes all the scripts.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to get out there and pound the pavement.
Yeah.
To me, he has the hard work.
Yeah.
So, you know, he didn't like it in the beginning, but he likes it now. I call him my unicorn because he can do everything. I want to keep him locked in a tower away from people.
Steve needs to start calling me a unicorn.
There you go. Okay? When you find one.
I'm your unicorn, bitch.
So yeah, Tyler does everything. He creates the jewelry. He creates the, you know, the fragrances, the designs,
awesome.
Blah blah
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So that's Eddy Ford Beverly Hills, and Eddy Ford Entertainment is the production company.
Yeah, great.
So is he involved in the entertainment?
He writes all the scripts.
Oh, of the movies too.
The movies, the TV shows, all of
them. Oh,
it.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So
wow.
How'd you guys find each other?
Again, through accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, you know, it was a mutual friend who's no longer a friend put us together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that, you know, and Tyler's the reason why I became a producer. I was not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
I knew that there was going to have to be a game change, but I had no idea where to go.
Yeah.
And as, you know, as an actor, you don't really know, at least I didn't. I didn't really understand what a producer was. Nobody could tell you.
Sure.
When you ask what a producer is, no one really can give you an answer because they are everything and nothing.
It's right. Too much to even.
Yeah.
It's way too much,
yeah.
You know. And then it depends on what type of producer
right.
you
right.
are.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're an associate producer,
Well, that, you're just getting water for somebody.
Yeah, there's that. And then, you know, if you are the big producer, are you a money guy? Are you a creative guy? Are you a blend of the two? Are you a connector? Are you show running? Are you, if you're a showrunner, what kind of showrunner? Are you the literary one where you write everything? Or do you just oversee the writer's room? There's a whole lot.
I know, a ton. Yeah.
That goes on with that word producer, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that was something else that, you know, we had to figure out what we were. And we are creative producers, you know. We know how the business works. We just don't, you know, we're just working on getting those connections. And I'm confident that, you know, this horror film is about to pop.
Sweet.
So, and I'm very excited because horror is my thing.
That's awesome.
So you guys have already made it?
We haven't made it yet.
You haven't made it yet.
No, we're looking for the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the...
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, but once we get the money, we know exactly where we're going and what we do.
Once you get it.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you hand us the money and get out of the way.
Get out the way, yeah.
Move.
Yeah.
Because like we've been looking at this for 4 years.
You're ready.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where can people find...
Everything about Sonya.
Yeah. So is it on your social? Is it a website? Where do people go?
In regards to the acting, you know, I post when I think about it.
And that's on Twitter mainly, right?
And that's mostly on Twitter.
Yeah.
I am not a Facebook girl.
Yeah.
Sure. Every once in a while I go on Facebook. But for me, what happens is people figure out it's really me posting.
Sure.
So then they jump on and they start talking to you.
Then you're on there for...
And I have been really blessed with funny fans. So anybody that makes me laugh...
Oh, you're spending time
I'm going to spend time talking to you.
Totally,
you know what I mean? So before you know it, I'm going to be 2 hours. And then the next thing you know, it's nighttime. Right. The night birds are singing.
Yeah, and you're like, I am
the
still on Facebook.
Jasmine's blooming and you're like... It's 11 o'clock. What happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
You know, so
it is a time sucker for sure.
Yeah.
And so that's really why I don't go on Facebook because it sucks me in.
Totally.
Twitter, I can go and say what I got to say and I'm out.
Get in, get out. And that's at Sonya Eddy?
At Sonya, at the real Sonya Eddy.
At the real
Sonya Eddy.
They'll figure it out.
You'll see it. I got the blue check mark now. So
hey, woo-hoo! All right.
I felt
Bradford's
so
still trying to get his. So he calls every day. Why won't you give me?
I've been verified for a long time. I was surprised.
Why'd they give me the blue check, Steve?
Did I really?
Is this a mistake?
How'd they get that?
He bought it. Sonya, thank you so much.
Awesome.
I've talked your ears off.
No, that's great. That's what we're here for.
That's what we do here.
That's what we love to do.
Friggin' point.
I mean, the fact that we get to just sit down and talk.
I mean, it's awesome.
And do this, it's amazing for us.
It is.
Yeah, we feel so lucky.
Because it really gives us a great perspective on other people's journey, which I find super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
also what people do when they're not here. Like when we're in the building, we're like, it's like a submarine.
Well, yeah.
And we're in it and we feel like we have, you know, strong bonds and we've got stuff in common. And then so sometimes you feel like, oh, I know that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk to them and you're like,
I didn't know you.
No idea. And that's what's so awesome.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the great thing is we have fun.
That's
the thing I love about you guys.
We have fun.
We do.
There's some people I don't have a lot of fun with. But but Sonya, we have fun all the time.
Always.
Because she's such a, you could tell by her spirit, she's fun.
Yeah.
But upstairs sometimes it doesn't allow for fun.
Mm-hmm,
because the time, like, you know, today when, well, man, and well, I'll finish up with this, but. Today we get in and Sonya and Laura are supposed to have three scenes, right? So we're upstairs blocking and the stage manager comes up and says, Sonya didn't know she was even working today.
Oh, it's the worst feeling in the
world. So I walk out to put your name at the gate and I hear Janetta on the phone like, yeah, you're working. And you're like, what do you mean I'm working?
I'm like, what? I literally was opening my eyes when the phone rang. And at first, I'm hallucinating. I see Janetta's name pop up, and I'm like, why is she calling me?
Janetta's our security.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Security guard at the front. She's our, you know, our greeter.
Yeah.
Make sure everything's.
She's the gatekeeper.
She's the gatekeeper.
She makes sure
in the morning, which is great.
All the rooms are open. Everybody, without her, we're standing outside with our thumbs.
Yeah, exactly right.
And freezing.
So, poor poor Sonya. I mean, there's no worse feeling because it wasn't even her fault. Well,
yeah, when it's not like your fault. Thank you, Jesus. When it's not like your fault, at all. It might not feel as bad when it's not your fault, but it still doesn't feel good.
No, I didn't feel good at all.
I mean, you got to get in the car. I mean, you can't get anywhere in 10 minutes here.
I'm like, what? Rob is like, can you be here by 8:30? I'm like, dude, it is 7 o'clock.
Yeah, dude, I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that hasn't happened to me because I would be like, I'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm in Sacramento.
I'm in Sacramento. I can't get there.
I mean, that's a whole other creature right there. Yeah,
but, wow. You know, up there we still were trying to have, you know, we're having some fun because, you know.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is, man.
You got to have some fun. You got to have some laughs every now and then.
I was telling Steve, I said, you know, I'm not quite feeling like I'm in my body.
Just yet.
We'll see what happens.
Sometimes the best work comes out of that because you're not thinking about it.
Exactly.
So much,
right? Well, I mean, you can't.
It
you
worked.
Can't,
it worked out.
Yeah. I was like, I hope I said that right. I don't know.
Yes, you did.
You study your script, right?
Yeah.
But,
you had never seen the script until this morning?
I saw it. I did get the script last night. But rehearsals and whatnot, it just didn't lock.
Yep.
I knew I was working tomorrow.
Yeah, right? And sometimes you get so many emails from them, you're like, when is this date?
Yeah,
you're not paying attention to the date.
Yeah, the rehearsal schedule for yesterday.
Ball and stuff.
So my brain just...
Yeah, I get you.
And then I was tired from yesterday.
And they didn't give her a call time.
No call time.
So that's nothing.
Yeah,
that's it.
Because I really thought it was a bad dream. It took the second. Janetta, thank God she called me back the second time because I was like, yeah, that didn't really just
that didn't happen.
Oh man,
it's like wow, that really felt real.
Yeah,
that was real.
And then it's like when I heard Rob's voice, I'm like, oh boy,
oh, no.
yeah, this is real and this is bad.
it all worked.
Like,
out.
Did I screw up? Oh my God, that's not like me.
Well,
it all worked out.
The day turned around and you. Now you're here with us. So,
yeah, now
it's going downhill.
Well, this is the high point, so thank you guys.
Thank you, Sonya. You're awesome.
So
we love you.
Looking forward to seeing what's coming out of the producing reigns of Sonya.
Yes, Eddie Ford Entertainment presents.
Right. That's right. I like it.
All right.
Thanks, Sonya.
Thank you.
How about that story about Sonya, who so clearly was... let's say, born to be an actress, and yet fought it for so long.
Fought it for so long, but I'm glad she didn't really give up because I love working with her. She's so funny, dude. She brings such a great energy to the screen all the time, and it's just great to work with her, man.
Just amazing the twists and turns of thinking she's going to be an engineer and then a lawyer and a vet and then a lawyer and... And then still, like, even when she's getting success, just keeping it at bay. So it's a great story that you can, you know, if sometimes people don't have that drive of like, hey, I want to do this one thing. But it's amazing how sometimes it finds you, right?
Yeah. And it's cool because she was a driven person. So she kept moving forward. Right. And doors would close, doors would open.
Right. Because she kept working hard at whatever she was doing.
Yeah. It was just, it's a testament to her of just her continuing to move forward in her life and seeing what doors close, seeing what doors open and going, okay, I guess I'm going, I guess I'm going to act, you know, which is amazing.
It's funny. It's one of those careers that you don't really back into. Do you know what I mean?
It's amazing. I know.
Because it's one of those careers that there's so many people that dream about having a career as an actress, right? Or as an actor, that for someone to just kind of fall into it, it's funny. It's like it's one in a million almost.
It totally is.
You know?
Yeah. It's great. And it's always great, dude. We've said it before, just to be able to sit down with people and get a kind of a sneak behind the curtain and see how they grew up and where they came from and all these great things that we don't really always get to know. And I know the listeners appreciate it too, because they get some insight to actors or actresses and they're like, wow, man, they got struggles. They're real people. They go through all the stuff that everybody does. And it's just so nice to kind of, I guess, I don't want to say humanize people in a way, that you really don't know, because a lot of people aren't active on social media, or maybe you only see something about someone in one of the magazines or at an appearance for a brief time. But it's really great to just sit down and have this platform to just talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And learn, you know, and get to know people and kind of come together, and it's just really cool, man. So
yeah, it sure is. And the differences in the stories we hear, you know, from you know, Nancy growing up in Skokie,
sure,
to Sonia growing up in the Bay Area with an family of engineers, like it's I don't know if some people I think of the lives of actors and people that they see on TV in a very idealized way or whatever, and you realize it's just a career path that you would take any other way, and some people end up on TV, some people end up in their community theaters doing another right. job, but doing that as a passion. I love talking about it because I hope it lends some sort of, I don't know, normalcy is the word, but
the greatest thing about it is there's always a journey.
Yeah.
You know, it's a journey that we don't always see when somebody gets on a show or some, right. you know, some show's popular and like, oh, where's that? Oh, that guy's someone. He's new. No, right. he's been doing it for 20 years and now he got a job
right.
on TV. You yeah. know, he's been grinding it out for 20 years. And a lot of people have that same journey, man. They're just, yeah. they just keep going and they achieve success, which yeah. is amazing.
So cool. It was so great sitting with her, and we knew we'd laugh a lot, and boy, did we.
Oh, dude, it's always we're laughing all the time on set.
God,
man.
It made me wish that we still had the didn't you guys back in the day have like daytime softball leagues?
Dude, that was way back in the day.
Way back in the day?
That man. Was like early 90s, dude.
I missed out. When I lived in New York, all the Broadway shows had like the Broadway softball league, and I never made yeah. it into a Broadway show. I've just wanted a job somewhere where I could play a softball. Damn softball team.
Yeah, well, I played a lot of basketball and softball, and it was a lot of fun because sometimes the shows would play each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was they – look at this. This was the worst idea ever. They invited – it was us. Was it General Hospital people and someone else? Or it might have been just General Hospital people. But they invited us to come up to like somewhere in – I think it was San Luis Obispo at a winery.
To play softball?
To play at a charity softball game.
So people were just loaded and...
And at a winery that had a bar also. So we went wine tasting. I go, you don't want to take a bunch of actors wine tasting.
Wait a second. This is free? We can drink as much as we want?
Oh, it was amazing, dude. Wow. It was, needless to say, it didn't really turn out to be an amazing event.
Well, I imagine, dude, a sloppy softball game, that's good until someone gets like hit in the head with a bat.
Yeah, yeah. Then everyone goes back to the, you know, the hotel bar, and it was yeah. just... Mayhem.
Oh, dude.
Mayhem. Yeah.
I was in the wrong generation of soap actors.
No, you're fine, dude. You're fine. Yeah, yeah. We get to go on the road and have fun.
That's true. All right. We have a question today.
Yeah, go.
Which I love. It's from Priscilla. Hi, Priscilla. Thanks so much for your question. Her question is, how are the scenes filmed when there are identical twins, like Ryan, Kevin, and now Anna and Alex? Is the actor just saying lines to an empty space and then the other person is added digitally? I'm curious as to the process. She's watched GH for 45 years, and she listens to the podcast since it began. Thank you, Priscilla.
Priscilla, thank you. Thank you very much.
Steve, you probably know. I've never watched them do this, so you
well,
probably
they used
have.
To have double. They used to. I haven't seen Anna and Alex. Well, I know Kevin and Ryan. I mean, come on, we're trying to tell who's who. One has the hair to the side. One has the hair down.
But I think she's actually asking technically. How do they do it?
No, I know technically. Oh, okay. Yes, but I'm just kidding because people are like, which one's Kevin? Which one's Ryan? One has hair to the side. One has hair down. So, yeah, they usually have a double so they could shoot over the shoulder.
Right.
Right. And then they go down and change, essentially, and then come back and do the same thing, and they put the double in the other stuff.
Right. On the other person's coverage, you have a shoulder of somebody else.
Correct. You have a guy in the same, basically, you know, suit or hair of that person, and that's what you do.
Right.
You know,
when they show them in a two-shot, though—
Dude, I don't know. That's some digitally enhanced.
Yeah, it's digital. Stuff. Right.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, John Lindstrom really has a twin.
So they must, you know, so digitally, yes. they just were, they're able to do an open shot and insert the other person to the other half of the shot.
Nowadays, yeah, back then they couldn't, you know, in the 70s.
Didn't they have to splice it together? Because sometimes you'd see people in the same shot.
Yeah, they might have had to actually splice it, but now it's much easier. So.
Yeah, yeah. And man, I want a twin. Dude, I think Spinelli is ripe for a twin. Because you could just have him be so different.
No, I don't think so.
Stop it! Don't squash my dreams! What are you doing? You're supposed to be my friend and my advocate. Don't squash my dreams!
Mean? What do you mean? Hey, why don't we get Spinelli back on the show first, full time?
Okay, fair enough.
Well, and then you can bring your schlubby twin to town.
Why does he have to be schlubby?
What's gonna be? What's your twin gonna be?
I don't know. I think having like an evil twin would be awesome. So like Spinelli comes back and starts being mean to everybody, starts like, you know, undermining you, and then it's either I'm in distress or I'm an evil twin. One of the two. I'd like.
So one has a goatee and one doesn't.
That would be hard because it takes me like 6 months to grow this.
But how do we tell you apart? What would you do different? One wears a scarf and one doesn't.
That's right. we could put some cool glasses on me.
That's cool.
Yeah. I guess now Spinelli, his wardrobe is specifically like Portland now. He doesn't wear hoodies and skater pants anymore.
Right. So you could get away with actually just wearing some different wardrobe.
Maybe so. Anyway, it's probably a terrible idea. You're right. You have good instincts, but boom.
We'll try it on the road first.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you, Sonia. This will air. This is going to air while Steve and I are on the road. So if you're seeing us this week, we appreciate you. And thank you all.
Want to see us in May?
Yeah.
Get your tickets now because they will be sold out in May.
That's
right.
Go to
StoneColdAndJackal.com. For all your tickets and everything else. And we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening.
Have a great one.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or just the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in.
Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas.